All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sisi Guru and Gauranga. It's always so dark in here. Those of us who are getting old. Oh yeah. They were all many somehow or other.
The shadows.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's on text number 27 this morning. Yaha,
yaha,
swaka. Yasukha
Parato Veha,
Yasukha
Parato
Veha,
Yasukha Parato Veha,
please. Atmavan, consciousness, Riddhi, within the heart, Pitva, having been taken by, Orim, the personality of Godhead, Gehat, from home, Pravrajit, goes away. Saha,
he is.
Nara Uttamaha, the first class human being. Translation. This is, by the way, Vidura talking to Dhritarashtra. He is trying to persuade him to a certain course of action. He is certainly a first class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Srila Prabhupada's report. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, one, the dhyer, or one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, by frustrated sentiment. And three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting, and leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that a renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. Now the rest of the sentence is in italics. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle, alone, out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is within him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should, therefore, practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, qualities, form, pastimes, entourage, and so on, in association with pure devotees, and this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although He sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship Him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first class human beings as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasatte Deve Gauravani Charani Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschatsare Sitarani Om Angyana Timadandasya Karanjana Shalakaya Chaksur Vilitin Jaina Tasmai Sri Garavaya Namaha Vansha Kalpa Trupyascha Vipa Sindhu Devacha Kittanam Kavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namaha. This is our prototype of what we call heavy preaching. Trying to get Madura to leave and awakening to his the disgrace of his position, actually, although he was living happily in illusion. So here he's speaking now of this person that's called the Narottama, the Narottama, the first class human being. And that person is also called Atmavan. Atmavan means self-possessed, or in our case, self-realized, who's situated in his spiritual position. Now, that kind of a person. So what's his characteristic? One who either swaka by his own self, or paratova, or by others, jatanir veda. He had this indifference to material attachment has been awakened. He understands what is wrong about attachment in this material world. That person has been awakened, and here he says, Pridhikrit Vaharem, this is the point of this verse that Prabhupada really focuses on. He has really, he takes to heart Hari. He has taken shelter of the Lord in his heart. Vidikutva Harim. And therefore, Yeha Pravavajet leaves home, walks away, because now has fully depended upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these two things have to be there. One sees the falsity and misery of this material world. Some people never get it. And those that do get it, they don't know what to do. What do we mean by the falsity and misery? It's just that one just has to understand his position in this world. That everybody in the material world wants so much more out of the situation than they get. Even those that get everything, they're still disappointed in the end. Because really trying to hold on to anything in this material world is just trying to grab the wind. You know, everything is just turns to dust very, very rapidly. People who want to achieve something in this world, they have to work, first of all, very hard. You have to go to school, you have to study, You have to become a lawyer. This is hard work. You have to burn the midnight oil. Then you join a law firm. And you go to work every morning at 5 a.m. And you arrive home at 9 p.m. 25 years, the only time you see your wife, she's in her bathroom. Because you're just gone all the time. These are really, you have to put in these long hours. And you have to work very hard. You have to help your clients make money. You have to solve their legal problems. And you advance in your law firm. And you become a very respected person. You make a lot of money. You go to church, you give a charity, you do all these things, you're a solid system, a citizen, everybody praises you, you're important when you die. And you think, well, I'm important, see, I've got a name in society, people know me, they recognize me, I've got some respect, some reputation, because I'm in my city. Go to another city, nobody heard of you. It's always instructive to travel around the world. You know, you show up in some city, Hamburg, Germany, and there's all these people working really hard and doing the same thing, and you never heard of any of them, and they never heard of you. So everything people want something real from their lives, and because it's invested in the material world, it doesn't happen. It's futile. Shrama eva he kevalam. It's hard work and it's for nothing. Just nothing. Prabhupada said about these people, he said, all they enjoy is a little mental happiness. Oh, I have a nice house. Oh, I've got a good reputation. Oh, I have my kids went to Harvard. This is a little mental happiness. So one should understand this, the falsity and the misery of this material. Falsity means it doesn't really give us any return for our efforts. It's only, all we get is illusions. And then, here, what happens? We get disillusioned. But one should be disillusioned from the beginning. Now this is the part that Prabhupada says in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's a discussion, is it there, of the items of knowledge. There's a whole list of them. And one is knowledge of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. And Prabhupada has a really interesting little comment on that item. And I always thought devotees all knew this stuff. Yeah, here it is. He says, yes, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, dukkha dosha na darshana, right? Well, he says, you find it. The pages are a little different in this intersheet, so. But yeah, this, I've read this once in a class, a Bhagavatam class or something, in New York City. And let me read it to you. Of course, one should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease. There are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child's stay in the womb of the mother, its sufferings, and so on, are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Because we forget how much distress we've suffered within the womb of the mother, we do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. These should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be diseased. No one wants to become old, but there's no avoiding these. Unless we have a pessimistic of this material life. Considering the distresses of birth, death, old age, and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. So Prabhupada is recommending that we discuss these things, and we should have a pessimistic view. Well, I read this, and then after the, during the question period, the initiated devotee, a lady, raised her hand and objected. She objected to this. She'd taken some psychology courses, and one's supposed to be optimistic and hopeful. Yeah, but on real grounds, we agree on being optimistic and hopeful. But anyone who has staked their happiness on the material world is a fool. Is just a fool. And is going to be, sooner or later, disillusioned. Here, Vaidura is recommending renunciation, but once you understand is that whether we like it or not, it will happen. People are reluctant when we say, give up everything and surrender to Krishna. They don't want to do it. Surrender to Krishna. And as though they have a choice. Because everyone has to surrender to Krishna. The devotees do it the night's way. We recognize who Krishna is. We take him into our hearts. We bow down before Radha Kunja Bihari. That's how we give up all material hopes and activities. Jati Nirveda, Atmabandha should be our position. Give up all designations. Just serve Krishna. We become a Kinchana, poor. We become a Kinchana. So a materialist, when he sees that, he becomes so disturbed. I'll never do that, they say. Especially the way we act it out, bowing down before Krishna. There's really the Danda boxes there right on the floor. People are wow. Because bhakti yoga means using the senses and showing kinesthetically that you bow down to Krishna. They don't like that. They say, I will never do it. But they do it. And as Prabhupada said, those people meet Krishna in the form of death. What happens at the time of death? First of all, you get everything taken away. You never really had it anyway, but you had this illusion that I own something. And it's all taken away completely. And of course, you are the Dandabas, you fall down flat. The higher power. That's how. So that renunciation and that surrender to Krishna, it's constitutional. When we say this, we are constitutionally the servants of Krishna, that means no one can avoid it. And those who hope to avoid it, this is how they surrender. They got their little God projects, I'm the greatest, I'm the biggest. The moment of truth is there at the time of death. So one should understand this. Dukalaya Ashasatam. Krishna, who made this world, he certified by the manufacturer, it's temporary and full of suffering. But we should understand these things very clearly. So Prabhupada mentions sometimes people take sannyas by frustrated sentiment. They tried so many things. They tried family life. His children hate him. They ran through his bank account. His wife had lovers. His business partners cheated him. Everywhere he turned, it was miserable. He takes sannyas. He is cynical. Every time you see somebody cynical, you dig underneath, you see this frustrated sentimentalist. Who wanted all these things to work out. He's still attached, so now the other side is the aversion, right? That person is not really even dear. Who's really equipoised and steady. So the point of becoming pessimistic is not to become cynical. Because you're cynical and disappointed, but that means you're still attached. You're still sentimental in a way. Your sentiment has been frustrated. But one has to become actually intelligent and wise. And here the point is, as Prabhupada says, once you become a sincere devotee of the Lord. This is the indication with this Vidhi Kutva Harim. A sincere. You notice in the purport, I counted them. Prabhupada uses the word sincere four times. He talks about a sincere devotee, yes. Using that term, the phrase sincere devotee is three times, and then he also says that he uses this expression in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. The word sincere is there so many times. You find this, if you look up, Prabhupada uses this word so many times. Often in this compound, sincere and serious. Sincere and serious. Here he uses the term also steadfast. This purport is steadfast devotee. Sometimes he says sincere and hardworking. So, what does it mean to be sincere? The actual Latin root of this word, I looked it up in the dictionary. Sometimes it's interesting to look up words you use all the time in the dictionary. The Latin root, sinceros, means clean and pure. It's the actual meaning of this word. But usually we mean it to mean free from deception or the absence of all dissimulation. So it means pure, especially pure in this way free from ulterior motives in this case. Because he talks about devotees who are not sincere, that is to say, materialistic devotees. So sincere means that my only aim should be to surrender to Krishna. And I should be persistent in that aim. And this sincerity, over and over again, Prabhupada says that our sincerity is judged by Krishna in the heart. And when Krishna sees the devotee is sincere, then he awards him with spiritual advancement and protection and reveals himself to the devotee because he is in the heart. So this commitment to Krishna has to be evidenced by our behavior in the world, by how we act. Prabhupada, many times he says that we have to pass a test. One must pass the test of the spiritual master. And then Krishna tests the sincerity of the devotees. I just happen to find one little place here where Prabhupada talked about this. It'll take me a second to get up. Here it is. Yeah. Here's like an early, this is 1968. In Los Angeles. Somebody asked Prabhupada about meditation. And Prabhupada said, meditation that you can see from the result. You'll find so many persons meditating but see their life. Palena parichiyate. One has to be judged by the result. You have worked very hard and supposed to be a very rich man, but if I see that you have no nice apartment, neither any car, neither any ambulance, so what kind of businessman you have earned, that can be understood immediately. So if one, by practice of meditation, is actually advancing in spiritual life, why he's materially affected? What is the difference between a person materially affected and spiritually advanced? Take, for example, our students, the devotees. We may not be very much highly advanced, admitting that. But at least, if any gentleman comes, if he's sincere, he'll appreciate how pure they are. At least they are practiced, you see. So by the result, one has to see. But we have seen so many meditators, they cannot change even their daily nonsense habits. So what's the result they have attained, that they have achieved? I cannot understand. But the result one has to take into account, not simply by jugglery of words. Just like there is examination. One student says, oh, I've studied so much, but when the examination is taken, he failed. So what does it mean that he studied? That means he did not study, that's all. The test is that spiritual advancement means minimizing material activities. There are many quotes, bhakti paresh anubhava varaktir anyatra shat. You know these verses? That when there is bhakti, three things happen simultaneously. When there's performance of devotional service, rather, regular performance. One, there's bhakti, devotion comes. Paresh anubhava, that means direct experience of the Lord. And virakta anyata, renunciation or detachment rather from anything else. These three things. Devotion should increase, there should be increasing direct experience of the Lord, and there should be loss of interest in anything else. So when one is like this, they happen. Just as when you eat, three things happen simultaneously and progressively. Your hunger decreases, you're nourished, and what's the other one? Nourishment, satisfaction, relief from hunger. That's right. These three. The Prabhupada quotes this. In other words, something happens that you can see. And one of the things that happens is this virakti, detachment. Attachment to Krishna, automatically detachment from everything else. So he says, Prabhupada says, automatically they'll be detestful for material engagements. This word virakti is a nice segue. It doesn't mean that. It means a kind of natural loss of interest. Spiritual advancement means that just like hungry man, this is from the verse, if you give him to eat, as soon as he begins to eat, immediately you feel satisfaction. When he's fully fed, he'll say, no, I don't want any more. So similarly, spiritual advancement means proportionally one should be detestable to material engagement. That is the test. So this should be happening. We should see. Once I heard a lecture where Prabhupada said that when you're practicing Krishna consciousness, we should see the modes of passion and the modes of ignorance decrease. Otherwise, are we becoming more and more free from lust and greed and anger? Are they disappearing from the heart? And then Prabhupada said, if they are not, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. So that's the point. One thing is that one has to want them to decrease. This is sincere devotee. It wants them to go away and is happy when they do. And because the more and more these things are going away, the more and more Krishna becomes accessible. Krishna is in the heart. And we have a natural relationship with Krishna. as Prabhupada remarks in the purport, here one can be in the worst jungle. But if one has realized that relationship with Krishna in the heart, then not alone. That's complete safety. Prabhupada's jungle he talked about was being in the Bowery, the Lower East Side of New York in 1965. That was a high crime area. And there were these street people all over the place, and Prabhupada said he was just walking among them, and he said he never felt afraid. And because he always, not just knew theoretically, but he felt the protection of Krishna. When a devotee is sincere like this, Krishna gives guidance and direction. There's no want of what will I do next, what's going to happen next. There's no fear of the future. Prabhupada defines, he says, that fear means you don't know what's going to happen next. What will the future bring? But when I understand that I'm in the hands of Krishna and Krishna's taking care of me, guiding me and protecting me and doing the best thing, then there's no fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. I found another interesting thing that Prabhupada said in this regard. I'll get it again. I don't understand about my persona. I guess I make something that works. So. You will find it. Lost it. Can you grab that fire? So. Here he says, one should therefore practice devotional service at home. So that's the recommendation, that really by cultivating devotional service, this virakti, this jatamirveya, will take place. Prabhupada mentions hearing and chanting and so on in association with pure devotees, the Gaparatova. Or with the association of others. Because if one wants to develop in Krishna consciousness, what one has to have, first of all, the first requirement is faith. And then say, well, how do I get faith? Just the idea that Krishna will always protect me. But then if one happens to get the association of somebody who has that confidence or has that faith, then you get it. Because you see it. So Prabhupada remarks that faith is created by association with devotees. One has to have this confidence. So I need to associate with devotees who are more advanced than I am. That's a big help. Just like Dhritarashtra here is getting, and Vidura is so convinced and convincing, Dhritarashtra will actually go with him because of this association. So, one should therefore practice devotional service at home in the association of pure devotees, and this practice will help one awaken God consciousness at this jata nirveda, that is. Jata means is awakened. Atmavan. In proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. You see that word? In proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. So the sincerity at the beginning, I mean, one embarks on the path of pure devotional service. That path is one where one's aim should be developed love of God. And not be interested in anything that comes from karma and jnana. Anya Abhilasita Shunya Jnana Karmadi Anavita. That doesn't mean that in the beginning there aren't desires for these things. That naturally, those desires are still there. But now I'm on a path where I'm not trying to fulfill those desires, but I want to see them go away. That's sincerity. So sincerity doesn't mean necessarily that you're pure, but that you're committed to the path of purity. That Krishna wants to see. And in the beginning, there will be fall down. These different things will sometimes mug you. Just reach out. So where did that come from? You don't even know. But if there's sincerity of purpose, one continues, repents and regrets that this happened, and resolve to do better, and take any necessary remedial measures, maybe avoiding a certain person or a street corner or whatever that's brought one into a difficulty. And that's sincerity of purpose. Then when Krishna sees it, then he helps the devotee. And one begins to see. First, we cannot see Krishna, but we can definitely see the work of his helping hand. We can see that Krishna has made all arrangements for us. And that's very encouraging. Not only encouraging because Krishna is doing this, but that you know Krishna is taking care. One begins to feel safe, and one begins to take more shelter of Krishna. And then more and more one's commitment increases. And one depends more and more on Krishna, and the more we depend upon Krishna, the more Krishna takes care of a devotee. If I think I'm going to take care of myself, Krishna says, okay, you do it. See how good a job you do. We've been taking care of ourselves now for millions of lifetimes. We should learn from not so good. So the attitude of surrender is, now I'm simply going to not worry about my future. My future is Krishna's problem. I'm just going to give myself completely to following his orders. Prabhupada has this wonderful sentence where he talks about pure devotees. He says, they do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. It's just not their concern. It's quite liberating. You just say, well, let Krishna take care of it. And why does Krishna do that? Because I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve him with undeviating attention. Well, there are so many little problems and worries in life that are distracting. Krishna says, look, I'll manage that. I'll take care of it. Just to free you up. So you can concentrate on me without any deviation. I'll handle all this other stuff for you. I'll be your career manager, your guidance counselor, all these things. Let me take care of that. Masu Jaha, you don't have to worry. So the devotee feels this protection of Krishna. And he surrenders. And they can do so many things. There's no about understanding the nature of the material world. There's no sense of taking shelter of anything material, this false security that we get from material things. This is my home, or this is my place, or these are my circle of friends. All this is false sense of security, referred to in the Bhagavatam as the fallible soldiers. Because people take shelter of family and relatives and society because we think they can protect us against time and death.
Prabhupada remarks that what we have done is we have actually declared war on material nature. And that's a war we're going to lose. Anyone whose happiness depends upon sense gratification has actually declared war on material nature. But one thing we're always advised in political science is not to start a war you're going to lose. So people should not be foolish like this. We should understand that this world and this body is certainly very useful. We don't reject just because we have a pessimistic view of it as a place of enjoyment or happiness in itself. It's not there. But if it is used for Krishna service, then it's very valuable. And it should be used in Krishna service. That's another thing. So this is his example here. Now he's telling, this is the, what is the first class person? People don't know. On Thursday in Philadelphia, I was down in front of the art museum. We're having a Rath Yatra on September 23rd, Saturday. It's the last Rath Yatra of the season. And we've got it's going to be a big parade, and we have got this oval in front of the Philadelphia Museum of Art for the festival and everything. You can come. It'd be nice. We'll have a good time. And after that, it's fall. So I was there early in the morning, myself and some other devotees, and there was a guy from the park commissioner and two park policemen and the plumber and the electrician and all these people coming and trying to set up how they do this festival site. So we're trying to talk, and all of a sudden it gets really noisy because over here there's two helicopters. And I said to one of the policemen, is there an accident nearby or something? He says, no. And he points up toward the steps leading in front of the art museum. And there's a flatbed truck, and there's a crane, and there's a whole gaggle of television vans. Because they're putting the statue of Rocky Balboa on a plinth beside the steps of the art museum. Now, they're just putting it there. The actual installation in Abhishek didn't happen until Saturday, Friday. But already people were there because this is their idea of a Narottama. And they worship him. No kidding, because I was just amazed, because this after that movie, I don't know if you know this movie, apparently every American but me has seen it, but apparently he's some kind of, it's one of those, you know, victory in spite of all obstacles, and he becomes a fighter. And I guess the big scene at the end of the movie is he runs up these steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum and stands there and faces the city with a triumph like this. And so they made a statue of it, 8.5. I guess Sylvester Stallone is a little guy, but the statue was 8.5 feet tall in bronze like this with the fists up and the other gloves, you know. So they had this statue up there, and then it was taken down because the art museum recognized that his art is trash. And it was moved somewhere else for a long time, and I don't know, but the people wanted to restore it to that place in the beginning. Meanwhile, there's two footprints there where he stood in the movie. And the electrician told me, who was there, he said that he had been there the previous Saturday for setting up for some engagement, and it was rained out, but he was there for 4 hours waiting to see if it was going to happen or not. And he said, one after another, these tour buses pulled up, the doors opened, people were running up the stairs, and the footprints that it's too light is they didn't do this, but they took the dust of his feet and then they stood like this and then ran out of the bus. He said, bus after bus after bus. So everybody has their neurotoma. That's the thing. But Sylvester Stallone is now very old, and it was a movie anyway. You know, it was a movie. It means it wasn't real. It was fiction. He seems to realize that immortalizing as guys that represents the triumph of the Philadelphia spirit, the human spirit, and it's fiction. And what is he doing? He wins a fight. I mean, you look at Sylvester Stallone today, he's an old man. How did that happen from that? And he was never 8.5 feet tall. Anyway, here is an erotema. This is how we judge what is the first class person. That person who can walk away when it's necessary. Because anyway, we're going to walk away from it all. And most people that don't know how to do it. But depending upon Krishna, by cultivating this detachment and from matter and attachment to Krishna, then one really becomes successful in life. And Prabhupada mentions in the air, we have our heroes. There are many examples in the history of the world, especially in India, these first class people. They are our guides in the path of self-realization. These are the Rocky Balboas of the spirit. They're the real ones. And this Bhagura is one that we should look to. Any questions or comments? Yeah. Idea of what?
Tests,
yes.
And it seems that when we read about the devotees being tested, many times they seem to be tested in the area that's their weakest.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that something that we should expect?
Yeah, I'd be ready for it. This way you know you're useful because you find out what your weaknesses are and you can give them some attention. We should give them some attention. Right. Yeah, it's mentioned all the time. But tests make us stronger and we show it. In other words, I can say, I heard a lecture by a Prabhupada, I can't find this anywhere, but I heard the tape in the early days. I think so many tapes got lost, you know. But Prabhupada said, where is the proof that you love Krishna? He said, if you love Krishna, you will follow his orders. Otherwise, I can say I love Krishna, but another word that he used before a few times is sentimental. It's a feeling. But to show that I'm actually in real love, Then it has to be put to the test by our actions and our behavior. And so Prabhupada many times in this very connection he talks about Maya's job. Maya's job is to see. Do you really want Krishna or would you like Vibhavaluma? Or would you, or something else, you know, some little glittery thing to put in front of you. Do you want Krishna or do you want this? And you have to choose.
I was just in Washington, D.C., and I was talking with the Lashon, my grandfather, who had just come back from Jagannath Puri, Jagannath Puri. So he went there to take a lot of pictures, you know, and one of the things that he does is he sells his pictures. And so he was in front of the, as the deities were coming out, he was in front of the Lord Jagannath and his grand county, and, you know, removing obstacles and making a better devotee. And within minutes, he realized that somebody pickpocketed him or something, he lost all his money, $1,100, and his passport. Suddenly, he was without any shelter or anything to support him. And of course, you know, once the devotees realized what had happened, they helped him out a little bit, right? They helped him out a little bit. But even he had to get his passport replaced, he had to get his visa replaced.
I know what that's like in India. I did it once too.
He didn't even have permission to leave the country until 24 hours before his flight.
Right.
So, Chandramali just wanted to ask him, well, how do you like the festival? And he says, well, it's almost as if the more you suffer, the more ecstatic it becomes.
He knows that, right?
And Chandramali said, yes, that's about right. Because if anybody's been throughout the African Jaya Puri, they know it's not an easy festival. I mean, it's ecstatic, but it's just, you know, all these austerities that go with it. And if you can't handle the austerities, you become, you know, the obstacle of the austerity then blocks the ecstasy you get from being in front of the deities. So it's almost as if my identity test is your weakest points, well, then it wouldn't be a test anyway.
Yeah, and they make us stronger.
Right.
I mean, when Kunti finally said, I hope that these things come again and again, because they just make us take shelter of you. So then actually, one who gets really advanced welcomes them. It's a gift from Krishna. It doesn't have any more material judgment. This is I like this mercy, but I don't like that mercy. It's all mercy. Yeah.
Another question about this idea of not being worried about your future. Because one way you could take that is like just don't think,
Don't be feckless, just be a. Slacker, you mean?
Yeah. Like Krishna comes for his elders.
Sure. No, it doesn't mean you should be a slacker. Obviously, if you're a devotee and you're working for Krishna's service, you want to do the best for Krishna. You want to succeed. But at the same time, you say, whatever happens is up to Krishna. My business is to do my effort. The results is not my business, it's Krishna's business. And just doing that is the success and the fruits, the other success or failure, that's Krishna's business. This is why I lost this my marker in here. But Prabhupada says that's success. That if one is sincere in this way and gives all effort, then Krishna will bring, you can be confident that Krishna will bring the success, but actually one has to be detached because it's not me that does it. It's Krishna that does it. So that's what it means. Okay? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I'm sorry, it's really late. 10 minutes over. Yeah, that's a good time. That way we can make it 12 or whatever time is convenient.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just hear another last one. But I was worried.
I had one quick
update. She was first.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
almost the same line as he. Like he was saying that eventually, you know, at the end when they die, they happy. But like it doesn't seem like the real surrender. It doesn't seem like the real surrender that Krishna wants. You know, because like I can say, well, I can just wait until I die, then I'll surrender there.
It doesn't work like that, you know, because at the time of death, that is also a test. And what people have at the time of death is they end up thinking about what they're most attached to, even more attached to other things than Krishna. That's what we'll think of. You take shelter. So many soldiers in the battlefield, they die calling for their mothers. Because that was the last person they ever think that really cared for them. They call for their mother. Their mothers can't save them. They have to call for Krishna. What is the time of death?
Yeah.
It's, no, it's actually the same. Just like a devotee actually should live like every minute is the time of death. Because maybe it will be. Prabhupada said, you can think, oh, I'll wait till I'm old, but Prabhupada said, old age means just before you die. So can anyone say, not old? So actually, the devotee should live every moment like it's the last. Be depending on Krishna. And you don't know. I mean, you know, a plane can come to the roof. And we have the illusion of safety, but we're in the material world. But the time of death is—it's also described as a test. In fact, as the final exam. I just recently had a disciple leave her body. I was there chanting, and Krishna arranged for her. She wanted several things to happen. Room was full of devotees. I was there as spiritual master. I was chanting. She left her body looking straight at me. That's what she wanted. Somehow or other, I always had other plans to be in Europe, but somehow Krishna changed all my plans. I was there, you know, just because of her desire. You know, so she had a really, really. She left the body in a very nice way, but most people don't. That's very rare. Because whatever you're thinking of, that's where you go. And there's some many dangers like pet ownership. Some people, the closest thing they have is their dog, a cat. Look at Mahabharata, who's attached to this deer.
This is the most complex verse you read today, because I've come here and I've had some lectures given, and it's always easy to understand, and this is really, really looks and so, but then, like you said, it's the core of the thing, and it prompted me to ask you one question I don't understand. Why do we ever get born?
Why do we get born?
Yeah. I mean, why born, get entangled, and then we have to leave and go back? Why can't we stay with Krishna?
Well, because ultimately the reason is we have to come to face the fact that we are here in this material world to forget Krishna because we wanted to. We turned away from Krishna. Krishna by him. Huh?
So many births.
Wait, but you can't even figure out when.
It's not so fair. Huh? The process is so hard to get back to him.
Actually, the thing is, one just has to want it very bad. And we have to, our relationship with Krishna, we have to finally say to Krishna, I'm sorry,
no,
I left you.
When you want it so badly, then the process is very hard. See, it's kind of like fishing, you know. If you for a good fisherman, it's easy for him to catch the fish. But for others who are struggling, it's just simple. It's just if you have the net and you have the patience, you sit there, you're going to get there. But there are so many, you know, the material life.
Well, we should feel sorry for those people, because many people, you find out that they're in the material world because they want to be the supreme. They want to be the enjoyer. They want to be the controller. They want to be God in some way or another.
They don't know who God is. How can they become?
Yeah, well, because, but why do they forget? Krishna says, I cause them to forget because they want to.
Mm.
they want to. And when we want to remember Krishna, then Krishna helps us remember. I'm
yeah,
situated in that.
Huh? Like you said, how do you recognize that you are being helped to get that to him?
Yeah, well, I was sitting somewhere and I didn't believe in God, and for some reason I started to pray to God I didn't believe in to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the Bhagavad Gita and I thought, oh, the Bhagavad Gita. It wasn't Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. It was like a Mayavadi. But I finally figured out that what is teaching is surrender to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
My son, my womb, I was surrender. Nothing happened. And then 6 months later, I saw devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And by then I was thinking, oh, maybe I have to go to India and find a teacher, you know, and right in my university,
yeah,
right there. You know, so you could tell immediately.
Okay.
And then I went to a Krishna temple, and I saw they had this, like two years before that, I had been at some import house in Oregon during the summer break. I was in graduate school, and I saw some little statues, wooden figures, some white, some black, and some yellow. I didn't know any idea what they were. But I took Lord Balaram home. Didn't know who he was or anything. Put him on my shelf. And then when I went to this Krishna temple, they just had a panchatattva, but some reason or other on the altar they put Zadidi of Krishna and Balaram, little ones.
Oh.
And I saw there he was, the same guy.
Oh, wow.
I had him at home.
Fantastic.
No, it was really clear that somehow or other Krishna was like working.
Okay.
But I think he does that. If one really wants Krishna, then he'll give association of devotees, you'll get a book, you'll find something.
I do have an association with a very good devotee.
Oh, yeah, you do.
He's in the family, so.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. However, it happens.
No, I wouldn't be here if we had not for him. So
yeah, sure.
He didn't directly guide me. Where are you from
originally?
From which temple are you coming?
Huh?
Where are you?
Philadelphia Temple.
Philadelphia Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my home base.
Home base.
I come here pretty often because I'm one of the GBCs for this place.
You are familiar with Rasraj?
With who?
Rasraj.
Yeah, yes.
That's interesting.
You look like him. You speaking, you look, yes. I know him very well.
Yeah,
he's from Detroit. I know he was like working as an automotive engineer or something. You look like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fortunate.
Very good.
I'm very good.
That's your question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this other thing about that. Like Krishna through. I don't know, it just seemed like when I was just letting Krishna control my future, I was like a new Vrindavan. It seemed like it was going anywhere. I was just like doing, like,
well,
sweeping
the
floor.
That doesn't mean you don't have any brains.
Yeah, okay.
You know? I mean, there's a certain thing that you should do, I think, that you should always be trying to increase your service.
Yeah.
That's really the main thing. Once you try to increase your service. At least this, my thing is when I join the movement, there's simply one rule. I didn't change unless it was an increase.
Huh.
And otherwise, I just did whatever I was told. And I just found that it sort of, in whatever service I was doing, I made as much advancement as I could in that particular service. Krishna changed it. I mean, really, with as far as this one goes, I really didn't have any, like, I want to do this, I want to be this. I knew one thing,
One thing is very clear to me, I did not better when I had responsibility.
Yeah.
So I told my review, you see, I need some responsibility.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. But I just feel I did better. So I mean, you know some certain things about yourself, and you work well in these conditions that I can.
Yeah.
So you can work well to make arrangements. And of course, I was in graduate school, and the Prabhupada told me to continue.
Yeah.
I would, if you told me to quit, I wouldn't. All the devotees told me to quit.
Yeah.
The Prabhupada told me to continue.
Nowadays, no one tells you anything.
Yeah.
Say, well, what do you, well, what do you
want? Well, at least you won't be told wrong.
Yeah. Here, Bhagavad Gita class, it does seem like to give up, you know, your conditional activity. Like, don't get married, you know, like.
Yeah, well, that can happen, you know, maybe not quite yet. But you, you know, you need to be engaged. What you need to ask for is motivational service. In the beginning, that service may be, you know, something based on your own, you know, material, psychophysical nature. You know, at an advanced stage, you don't really care about that. You restrict the service you love doing. But generally, we need to get further and further engaged. And if we have talents, abilities, propensities, those need to be engaged. We aiming at 100% engagement in Krishna's service. So whatever that increases that engagement. So if I have some talents that are not being used, it's increased to use them.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes those talents have been exhibited in the material world in an impure state.
Yeah.
So they have to be purified. And sometimes Krishna makes you do things that you knew you had no idea you had any capacity or need for. This always surprised me. The first thing they did when I joined the temple was they made me the treasurer. I didn't know, and my wife did all that stuff. She took care of the books. She would, I had no attachment to money, no emotional relationship with money. Just every so often she'd say, "You're going to go broke, go out and get a job. If you go, get some more work." But I just didn't deal with money. Hare Krishna. I just didn't do it. And they named me the treasurer. And I realized after a while that Krishna didn't want me to be so spaced out about something as important as money. And that is, it's Lakshmi and it's his energy and it should be used carefully. So even though I would have thought this is not my thing, actually it was something I knew because I was avoiding something. So sometimes you're surprised.
For me, I mean, like, and can you take self-initiative? Because it seems like whenever
it
I
might
leave it up to the wind.
Yeah, you know, and that's what you leave up to the wind. Leave it up to Krishna means that you take responsibility, but at the same time, you trust, you know, you pray to Krishna for guidance and direction. You say, you know, show me the way, give me some indication, help me to do things that will be. I'm doing this so I can serve you better. Usually when that attitude is there, you can see that Krishna makes some effect. Not only do you make things known, but it's really not that subtle.
Krishna's direction.
Yeah, it's just like things happen that are like so blatantly obvious.
And so people say getting married actually is their most important choice. Is that true?
Is it fair? Depending on who you are.
Yeah, for some people.
Yeah. mean, I never mean, because I was married when I came to the movies. So I had to go through this whole thing of being a brahmacharya. Yeah, Prabhupada had a famous book over, One Should Fight Maya on Favorable Grounds. Talking about the house, he had a sannyasi. And this is the story about Rajendra. He said that in the water the crocodile was stronger than the elephant, because in the water there was a crocodile's own turf. This is one should be 5 miles on favorable grounds. What's favorable ground for one person and not for another? So marriage is fine. You need to find a woman who has the same ideas about the goal of life as you do, and you share the same idea of what are the necessities of life. So you have the same idea of renunciation. Austerity, you know, you have to, whatever they are, they should be compatible. And you should probably settle up the decision-making process for the power relationships. The power relationships. It's not automatic that nowadays that the man is in control.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or whatever it may be, how you make decisions.
Yeah.
Yes, you should find, if you get into a good marriage, find a wife that's suitable for Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people find out that, you know, the wife's idea of what she needs for Krishna consciousness is a suburban house with a two-car garage, and that's not really what they had in mind.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Yeah. I think there's a whole like, living temple without.
Yeah, all those things, right?
For some of us, might be favorable to actually live outside.
Yeah, could very well be.
Feel this morning.
You know, living in the temple has its disadvantages and has its advantages. The main thing is that one needs the association of devotees.
Yeah.
It's really hard if there's no association of devotees. One has to lead a regulated life. And you could turn your home into a temple. Or not. Anyway, I know it's not easy.
Yeah,
well, that's the tough thing, you know. One of the things that destroys devotional service is over-endeavor for something difficult. And if people get themselves into professions that require an 80-hour work week, it's really tough to be a devotee. Maybe you could do it for short stints, short bursts of time, but when it becomes like that, you have no time for Krishna consciousness. It's really tough. So you may not have the biggest material success career track.
Yeah.
It's just like Prabhupada. You know, he was on a real. This guy Bose was going to make him his successor in running this business practically. And then when Prabhupada got interested in Krishna consciousness, he said no. And he just got set up in a small little distributorship in Ahmedabad of pharmaceuticals.
And his wife's family never forgave him, as far as I can understand. Because he got married with the expectation he had this huge career in front of him. He was very, very wealthy, enormously wealthy. And he just didn't want to pay the price for that. He distracts much of Krishna consciousness. So he's, you know, so he worked, he maintained his family, he did all those things, but he did something much less demanding so that he would have time for Krishna consciousness. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, it does. Some people do it, some people, you know, it depends on you. You have to know your own abilities, your own capacities, and what you can do and what you can't do. But it's true, you know, if you're going to be a hostel, pretty much you need some profession or something. I mean, the world is tough right now. It really is hard. Very demanding. Okay, I'm glad I solved all your problems for you.